Hello, and welcome to another edition of the Regarding ID podcast. This is Zach Martin, editor of Regarding ID magazine. Today we're talking to Kelly Emmerich, executive director of the Secure ID Coalition. Kelly and I are going to chat about President Barack Obama and the impact he may have on different identification projects and the overall effect of having a tech-savvy president in the White House. Thanks for joining us, Kelly.
Oh, my pleasure. I'm delighted to be here today.
We appreciate it. And, you know, first off the bat, you know, a lot has been made about President Obama having a BlackBerry type of device. Do you think he has a smart card or biometric reader on the device?
Well, I would hope he's carrying around a biometric reader or at least doing three-factor authentication in some respects. You know, in the wrong hands, that could be a pretty dangerous item.
I've been amused following the whole news reports about the whole, you know, because I keep calling it a BlackBerry, and as well, most likely it is not a BlackBerry anymore. It's probably something entirely different.
A specialized operating system that we've never heard of.
Exactly, and that we'll probably never find out about for a long, very long time. So, Kelly, what do you think is going to, you know, a lot has been made about President Obama being very tech savvy, knowing what's going on. What, you know, if you just kind of start, how do you think this is going to impact certain federal initiatives?
Sure. Well, Zach, you know, there's a lot out there, and certainly this idea that he used technology in his campaign in ways that no other candidate has ever used before leads us to think that he's going to govern in a way to use technology in ways that haven't been used before either. And I think for identity, that's a really great thing. You know, there's certainly sensitivity among President Obama's staff, and certainly was on the transition team, and now as those folks roll out into the different agencies, there's certainly sensitivity to the privacy community and to the privacy concerns about data. And so how do you protect it? What do you do to ensure that it isn't compromised in any way? And I think that really bodes well for identity security.
Great. Is there any particular project or projects that you think are going to see a boost because of this, or going to see a change?
Well, let's start off talking about, first of all, the chief technology officer that he is interested in putting in the White House. We don't know who that person will be. There's been talk at, you know, what level that person will be reporting and what sort of budget authority they may or may not have. But right there, that signals there's going to be a new look at government and how technology is being used. And I think the most interesting potential appointment that we're hearing about is Vivek Kundra, who's the Chief Technology Officer for the District of Columbia. Today they're talking about him potentially being the e-government and IT administrator over at the Office of Management and Budget. And as you well know, Zach, Office of Management and Budget really controls the purse strings for the rest of the federal government. And so to have somebody like Vivek in that position really sends a signal that we're very serious about looking at programs, ways that we can use technology to not only increase security, but also to save money.
Yeah, the role OMB has played with the HSPD 12 and PIV rollouts is, you know, I honestly, before HSPD 12 and PIV, I didn't know that much about OMB. Now I know a lot more.
Right. They really are the agency where all the action happens, if you will, and their role cannot be underestimated. And again, I think a clear signal coming from the top that we are going to be serious about technology in this administration. And I think with that serious look at technology comes, you know, not to steal a quote, comes responsibility. There is a level of responsibility to address a lot of the privacy and security issues that have been raised in many of the other programs, most notably at the Department of Homeland Security over the last several years.
Well, speaking of Homeland Security, Napolitano, I thought, was an interesting pick for the president to head that agency.
Yeah, isn't she fascinating? I think it's a great pick on his part. What he's done is he's taken somebody who's known as a no-nonsense governor who has on-the-ground experience dealing with border issues from a border state, Arizona, and brought her into arguably the biggest and certainly the most influential cabinet-level department.
Well, and the fact that she came out against Real ID, or at least the state of Arizona passed legislation saying that they were not going to participate in Real ID, but then on the other hand, they said they were going to embrace the enhanced driver's license program, which I know has been you know, a widely criticized program by some states and some of the people in the identification industry.
That's right, and you know, there appears to be a little bit of an inconsistency there. You know, if you remember when Real ID was passed, there were a handful, well, more than a handful of states, kind of, you know, with a raging lynch mob saying, you know, hell no, we won't go. Really, that perception came down to, you know, the government imposing an unfunded mandate on the states. And so in many respects, it really had nothing to do with the technology behind Real ID or what sort of you know, verification process there would or wouldn't be, or would there or wouldn't there be encryption on the card. It really had nothing to do with any of that. It really came down to, if the federal government's going to tell us to do something, they're going to pay for it.
Right. And like I said, the EDL is another interesting program. And all this week I've been inundated with reports about the guy in San Francisco driving around with the $250 in equipment, picking up everybody's EDL. And again, people are confusing that with the passports and not the passport card.
Well, right, right. And I think that does, you know, bring to head a really good point, which is there's multiple technologies going on in different programs. And so there's no one clear approach to how we're handling contactless identity credentials. There seems to be, there's a multitude of different approaches that are happening within government. And so as a result, it does create this kind of confusion when you start looking at one program that maybe has some technical problems versus other programs. I think the only thing I would just add about the guy in San Francisco, it just goes to show, you know, how quickly and easily, you know, information potentially can be skimmed, and why there is a need, you know, when questions and problems are raised about certain implementations, that they really do need to be addressed in a very serious way. And I think what's exciting about this administration, and certainly about Governor, or I guess now Secretary Napolitano, is their ability to take a fresh look at some of these programs that have been out there already and reevaluate them and say, okay, you know, we're hearing from the privacy community, we're hearing from some in industry that there may be some problems here. How do we go back and address those and, you know, ensure that this program meets the needs of the American citizens?
Right. Kelly, has there been anything in the stimulus package that has caught your eye that has made you, that you think is going to impact IT and identification projects?
Well, certainly there is a lot in the stimulus package, and, you know, the numbers are staggering. There's questions about whether or not, you know, $900 billion will actually end up being spent. The last couple of days in the Senate, there's been an effort to trim that number down significantly. But what's of interest in the package, to me, certainly is funding for technology, certainly funding for NIST and for the National Science Foundation that we haven't seen before, an effort to get to innovation in universities, and again, some of these research side areas that really have been underfunded for the last 8 years. So that's a huge step forward. But I think most interesting that's coming out of the stimulus is potentially upwards of $20 billion for health information technology and moving everyone in the country to a digital health record. And that is a huge undertaking, as evidenced by the amount of money that's being attributed to it.
So, Kelly, one of the concerns with digitizing all these health records is privacy and security. You know, how do you think that's going to be handled? And is part of this money going to go towards that?
Zach, that's a really great and important area that Congress has thought about and spent a lot of time working on. Certainly over the past year and a half, there's been discussions about privacy legislation related to health IT, and how are we going to ensure that those records are protected and also kept secure. The question of data breaches is a big one, and part of the legislation deals with how to manage a data breach. But the other part of the legislation that I think is really interesting, it talks about how you incorporate the appropriate authorization and electronic authentication of health records. It requires the national coordinator who will sit at HHS, Health and Human Services, to look at and come up with a timetable for implementing the appropriate technologies and methodologies to render health information unusable or unreadable. And that's a really key and critical element of the legislation, because it's really directing that office to say, let's spend some time looking at how we can prevent a breach on the front end and make sure that people accessing those records are in fact who they claim to be.
Great. Kelly, on a piece that you've written for us for that's going to be in our spring issue, kind of covering some of the same ground, you talk about Web 2.0 and how President Obama can usher in an era of Web 2.0, you know, for tools for governments and citizens. I was just wondering if you could maybe delve into that a little bit and talk about what you mean by Web 2.0 and what are some of the different services that we might see because of this.
Well, Web 2.0 certainly has a lot of different definitions. And if you think about Web 2.0 as the way that people are able to interact with each other, so it's beyond one-way communication, it's really two-way interaction, and the ability to, you know, have a mobile device, have an application on the device that allows you to, you know, take a picture and send it off to somebody, and then they can in turn comment on it back to you or post it to a website. I mean, this is really the step in the next direction, and Obama was very successful at incorporating this technology into his campaign. One of the things that they have said repeatedly is that government will be transparent, and we will be able to see exactly what government is working on, but we will also take into account information and comments from the public and look at ways that we can make our government more inclusive. And I think that's really exciting at this point in time and giving people an opportunity to put their opinion out there.
Great. Well, Kelly, is there anything else that you would like to mention about what to expect over in the next couple of years, coming years from an Obama presidency?
Zach, I think the one thing that we really need to look at is who Obama appoints and how he fills out the government with his political appointees. Those folks are going to be the ones that are really going to drive innovation as part of their agenda in every agency. And we know from the top that it is a priority. We certainly have seen that with the president himself, toting around his newly functioning BlackBerry. But we are also seeing that in the folks that he's relying on. And very excited to hear about the potential appointment of Vivek Kundra from the D.C. Chief Technology Officer. He's going to be an amazing asset to the federal government. And so I think that's really going to drive a lot of the innovation policy. And I think to the extent that we continue to look at programs, look at how we can make privacy and security a top agenda item in everything going forward, I think there's going to be lots of opportunity, certainly for companies that care about those issues.
Well, Kelly, I'd like to thank you for joining us today. Again, we've been chatting with Kelly Emmerich, Executive Director of the Secure ID Coalition. My name is Zach Martin. I'm editor regarding ID Magazine. Thanks for tuning in.